I want to speak on a subject that the Bible emphasizes very clearly, and maybe something you've never heard before in regards to Thanksgiving. You know, it's easy to give thanks to God when things are going well. But the Bible says we are to give thanks to God even in the difficult times, when things are not going well, when it's a lot harder. The Bible says we are to give thanks in God for those times. We are to trust God no matter what happens. And so I want to share that with you today. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, that in the last days, and we're living in the last days, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Listen to what he says to young Timothy and also to us. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. Would you say these are difficult times? In the last days, there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They'll be ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others. They will have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than loving God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And then he says, stay away, Timothy, stay away from people like that. Now, he gives us the signs of difficult times. He says people will be selfish. They'll love only themselves. There will be the love of money. That is, there will be greed and materialism. My friend, there is no doubt the number one god in America is money. There will be greed and materialism. They'll consider nothing sacred like marriage, same-sex marriage. There will be no self-control. That is, there'll be rampant immorality. They will love pleasure more than loving God. They will be religious, but they will have no power because their religion is liberal. It's not based on the truth of God's word. Does this sound like the times we live in? Absolutely. Well, the question is, though, what should our attitude be during difficult times? And Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, would you turn there in your Bibles? And this is what I wanted us to look at today. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5, at the end of the chapter, Paul's giving a series of exhortations. Like verse 16, he says, rejoice always. Then verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. So he's giving a series of exhortations. And then we come to verse 18. And notice what it says. In everything, give thanks. Not just some things. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for your life. Someone has written, I have never thanked God for my thorns. I've thanked God 1,000 times for my roses, but never for my thorns. You see, it's easy to be thankful to God for our roses, for the good times, for the good circumstances, but it's much more difficult to thank God for the thorns, for the times of hurt, for the times that we're going through trials, for the times we go through a tragedy or a crisis in our life. That is much more difficult to thank God for. See, it's not hard for us to thank God when we have a good job, but it is hard when we lose our job. It's not hard to thank God when we have obedient children, but what about when we have stubborn and self-willed children? It's not difficult to thank God for faithful friends, but what about when those friends turn against us and hurt us and deliberately hurt us? It's not hard to thank God when things are flourishing economically for us or in our economy, but it's a lot more difficult when the economy takes a downturn like 2008. It's a lot more difficult, but that's exactly what God tells us to do in this verse. That's exactly what he tells us to do. You say, well, Pastor, that's hard to do. I agree. It's hard to do. Now, the troubling phrase in this verse is, in everything. In fact, it's so troubling, I thought, well, maybe if I look this up in some other translations, it'll say something different. So I looked it up. I looked it up in the Good News translation. It says, be thankful in all circumstances. Well, that didn't help me. This is what God wants for your life. So I didn't work there, so I looked up in the New Century Translation. It says, give thanks whatever happens. This is what God wants for you in your life. Well, that didn't work, so I looked it up in New Living Translation. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you, belonging to Christ Jesus. You see, these are the troubling phrases in everything, in all circumstances, no matter what happens. This means that God expects us to thank him not only for the triumphs, but also for the tragedies. Not only for the good times, but also for the bad times. Not only for the times we feel like it, but the time we don't feel like it. See, I thought to myself, I've had people say this to me. Well, I can do that. I just don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like doing it either. That's not a matter. We do it when we feel like it. We do it when we don't feel like it. We obey what God said because this is God's will. Now, I want to ask two questions about this subject this morning. First of all, why? Why should we do this? Why should we do it? And secondly, how? I mean, it's difficult. How can I do this? First of all, why? Why should we do this? I want to give you five reasons from this text and other related scripture. Five reasons why we should do this. Why this is so important that we have this kind of attitude, especially when we're going through difficult times. Number one, and this is right in our text, we should do it because it is the will of God. That should settle the question. It is what God expects of us. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the will of God. This is what God expects of us. This is the attitude He wants us to maintain. Now, Paul is not saying it is God's will that bad things happen to us. No. Bad things happen to us, my friend, because we live in a sin-filled world. And in a sin-filled world, even the innocent people get hurt. Bad things happen. He's not saying God's will for bad things to happen to us. He's not saying it is God's will that we are victims of evil acts or people's selfish motives. He is saying whatever happens in our life, this is the kind of attitude God wants us to have. This is the way God wants us to live. So that's really the bottom line. You say, I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like doing it either. I do it because it's what God expects. It's the attitude He wants me to have. So that's the first reason, a very important reason. Second reason why we should do this and have this kind of attitude, it is God's way, now listen to this, it is God's way of helping us deal with bitterness and resentment. Having a thankful attitude during difficult times is God's way of helping us deal with bitterness and resentment. Let me ask you, what is bitterness? Bitterness is nothing but pent-up anger. Bitterness is pent-up anger. We can become angry with other people. We can become angry about what's happening in our life. We can become angry with God because we don't understand why He's letting this happen. This attitude provides an emotional release. Especially when somebody tries to hurt us, deliberately tries to hurt us. This kind of attitude can help us from developing bitterness and resentment toward another person. And resentment in just our life in general. It's an emotional release. So we should do this because it is God's will. And we should have this kind of attitude because God is helping us deal with bitterness and resentment. It's an emotional release. A person that hurts us, we should forgive them. You say, I don't deserve to be forgiven. Neither did we. We didn't deserve the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But mainly, we should forgive them because we don't want bitterness and resentment. Listen, the only person that will get hurt in bitterness and resentment is you. Let me give you a third reason. We should have this kind of attitude not only because it's God's will and it helps us deal with bitterness and resentment, but we should have this kind of attitude because it's the highest expression of faith. Now, I really want to underscore this. It's the highest expression of faith. Giving thanks to God for something difficult in my life, even when I don't feel like it, is the highest expression of faith when we are going through tough times. It's saying, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't like it, but I give thanks to You. Because I know He knows how He's going to use it in my life. I don't understand this. I don't like it, but I give thanks to You. What we're really saying is, Lord, this is difficult for me, but I trust You. This is difficult for me, but I trust You. My friend, listen, God wants us as we go through life to trust Him, to trust His Word. And so giving thanks to God when we're going through a difficult time is the highest expression of our faith in God. It's not difficult to have faith in God when everything's going well. It is the highest expression of faith when we are going through difficult times. See, the Lord wants us to respond to the good things in life with gratitude and the difficult things in life with faith. Let me say that again. He wants us to respond to the good things in life with gratitude, to the difficult things in life with faith. All right, let me give you a fourth reason why we should have this kind of attitude. And this is so important. It is a winsome witness to the world. It is a winsome witness to the world, to unbelievers. I want you to hold your place here and turn over your Bible to 1 Peter 3 and look at verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Peter says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That is, relate to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Sanctify Christ as the Lord in your heart. Now listen to this. Always being ready, you should always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, with gentleness and reverence. He says, ye should be ready to give a defense, to give an answer to those who ask you about the hope that is in you. Now, I have a question. How do unbelievers see the hope in you? The way unbelievers see the hope in you, they see you going through difficult times. Maybe it's at work or something. They see you going through difficult times, and they notice you respond to the difficult with a positive attitude, not a negative attitude. And so they come to you and they say, how can you do that? You say, I'm glad you asked. See, a positive attitude, a positive, thankful attitude when you're going through difficult time is one of the most winsome witnesses you could ever give to the world. It will open up opportunity after opportunity with unbelievers whom you work with, whom you live next door to, who you come in contact with. When they see this hope, it will give you opportunity after opportunity to share with them the gospel of Christ. But if I respond the same way they do to difficult times, I have no witness. All right, let me give you a fifth and final one. We should have this attitude because it is an attitude that leads to success. It's an attitude that leads to success. How many of you have ever said, I just love being around negative people? Nobody loves being around negative people. Now, I'm not talking about people who have discernment or refuse to compromise their biblical convictions. That has nothing to do with this. We should have discernment based on the truth of God's word. We should never be willing to compromise. I'm just talking about a general attitude of being negative all the time, responding in a negative way to everything in life. That is not an attitude that leads to success. This kind of having a grateful attitude, even when it's difficult for you, that's the kind of attitude that leads to success. The great inspirational speaker Zig Ziglar, who is also a wonderful Christian man and went to be with the Lord many years ago, one time I heard Zig Ziglar speak, and he made this statement. Our attitude, more than our aptitude, will determine our altitude. That's right. Your attitude and my attitude, more than any aptitude, any abilities that we have, will do more to determine our altitude, how far we soar. See, God wants us to be successful. God wants us to be successful in what He called us to do. He wants us to be successful in our Christian life. And it will not happen with a negative attitude. You say, it's hard though. I know it's hard. It's hard. How can we do this? Well, I want to share with you three truths. That's the second part of this message. Three truths about God of how we can do this. I'd be first to admit to you, my friend, as I've gone through my life in difficult times and trials and people lying about you and misrepresenting you and deliberately trying to hurt you and your family, I'd be the first one to say, man, this is hard. But we can do this. How can we do this? We can do it if we'll remember three great truths about God. Number one, remember that God is good and never does anything wrong. One of God's attributes is His absolute goodness, His justice, His fairness. Remember that God is good and never does anything wrong. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Psalm 100 that we read a while ago, verse 5. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And His love endures forever. God is always good, always good, always kind. God would never do anything or allow anything in my life that did not turn out for the good. When I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, one of the older students in our class was a guy named Ron Sauer. He was an ex-Marine lieutenant, and he came from the Marines to seminary. He was one of the smartest guys in our class, especially in Greek, the Greek New Testament. He had plans after he graduated from Dallas to go overseas to one of the most prestigious universities to study under the world authority on the Greek New Testament. And so he and his wife, after graduation, were planning on doing this, and he went for his annual physical. And the doctor came out after he had his physical and his blood work, and the doctor had a very strange look on his face, and he said, Ron, your tests reveal that you may have a fatal blood disease. And we're going to have to run some more tests in a couple of weeks to determine whether this is true or not. And Ron said he went home and he told his wife, he just couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. You know, Lord, why would you let me go through all these years of college and all these years of seminary and have great hopes and dreams and Now it's all going to come to an end. Ron said before he went back to his test, one day he was just spending time reading God's word and praying to the Lord. And he said the Lord just put in his mind from some scripture he read, God is good. He would never do anything that was wrong or unfair in my life. If it's God's will to take me now, then glory to God. But he said, when I thought about God being good, he remembered that God is good. A peace came upon my life. Well, fortunately, the test turned out he didn't have fatal blood disease. He did go and got his PhD in the Greek New Testament. He's taught at Lynchburg Seminary. He's taught at Moody Bible Institute. And as far as I know, still serving the Lord. We can go through difficult times if we'll remember God is good. He wants only the best for your life. And a lot of times we can't figure all that out. But our God is good. See, when I don't feel like it, when it's difficult for me, I have to rest upon the fact of who God is and trust in that. So how can we do this? Well, we need to remember God is good and he never does anything wrong. I'll give you a second one. How can we do this? We need to remember God controls everything in our life. Not only is God good, never does anything wrong, God controls everything in our lives. One of my favorite verses, Isaiah 46:10. Listen to this. The Lord says to all of us, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient time, what is still to come. And I say, listen to this, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Our God is sovereign. Our God is in complete control of everything. Now, I know sometimes when we look at the world and the things going on, we think, man, where's God? You know, it doesn't look like God is in control. I guarantee you, my friend, we serve a sovereign God. He controls everything. Everything will work out to his good pleasure. Every purpose he's declared will be fulfilled. And everything he wants for in our life will happen. He is a sovereign God. You know, a lot of times we think, and the world thinks this way, you know, things are going on in the world and God is up in heaven saying, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. My friend, God is in complete control. Everything will work out just as he says, I've declared the beginning to the end. Everything will work out exactly what he's declared. And so I need to remember this. A great illustration of this is Genesis 45, where Joseph, you know, his brothers thought they sent him there, and he said to them, God sent me. Three times he said, God sent me. This was God's will. God sent me. This is why I went through all this. God sent me for this time. See, it's not us who are in control. God is always in control. So how can I give thanks during a difficult time? Because God is good. He never does anything wrong. And secondly, God is in control of everything in my life and in the world. Thirdly, I can be thankful in difficult times when I remember that God uses everything in our lives. We can give thanks when we remember God uses everything in our lives. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans 8. This is a very important passage of Scripture. Romans 8:28, you may have memorized this and quoted it many times. The problem is, a lot of times people don't read verse 29. Verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good." That means the good things and the bad things. God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. There are many many Christians who think this verse means this. Well, things may be going bad, but eventually everything will come up roses. No, that's not what he's talking about here. The question is, we know that all things work together for good. The question is, what is the good? What is the good? Well, the good is explained in verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become, here's the good, to become conformed to the image of his son. That's the good. So he would be the firstborn among many brethren. God uses all things to work together for the good. And the good is, God will use the good things in life, God will use the trials and difficult things in life to cause us to be conformed more and more to Jesus Christ, to become more like Jesus. My friend, did you know that's the goal of the Christian life? The goal of the Christian life is to become more and more like Jesus. Now, obviously, he was perfect. We'll never reach that. But we are to know who Jesus Christ was, and we're to become more and more like him. I should be more like Jesus this year than I was last year. I should be more like Jesus this month than I was last month. That's the goal. He's the one I measure my life by, to become more like Jesus. And that is the good. That God uses everything in our life to conform us. That's why when you're going through a difficult time, you say, "Lord, I don't need this." He says, "Yes, you do. Yes, you do." I used to have a Dr. Hendricks at Dallas Seminary used to say to us, the problem with a lot of Christians is they want the end product. They just don't want to go through the process. Doesn't work that way. God uses everything. God uses trial. God uses suffering. God uses difficult times. And he uses his word and the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul said this, "I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but upon God, who can raise the dead." In everything, give thanks, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One of my favorite Christian ladies was Corrie Ten Boom. You remember Corrie Ten Boom and her family tried to save Jews near land of Holland. And because of this, they were found out by the Germans and put in a Nazi concentration camp, Nazi death camp. And Corrie ten Boom shares this story. During World War II, Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were transferred to the worst German prison camp, Ravensbrück. It was not only extremely overcrowded, but it was infected with fleas in their dormitories. The first day Corrie and Betsy were doing their Bible study and prayer time, and their Bible study that day was on 1 Thessalonians 5. And of course they read verse 18. And Betsy, Corrie's sister, said, after they got through their study, "We need to thank God for the fleas." And Corrie ten Boom, she was having a bad day, and she said, "No way." But she finally gave in and thanked God for the fleas. Over the next several months, they were surprised that the guards did not interrupt their Bible study with the other women. And later they found out why. It was because of the fleas. They didn't want to come in there. You see, God can even use fleas to fulfill His purpose. This is the way that God wants us to live. This is the attitude He wants us to have. To live any other way, my friend, is to have God's second best. This is not just for Thanksgiving season. This is a way of life. Give thanks to God in everything, because He's good. He's in control. And He will use everything in your life to conform you to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I know that there are people in our congregation today that are going through difficult times. And I pray that this message today will help them and help change your attitude about these things. And Lord, I'd be the first one to admit how difficult this is. I know it's been for me at times. But help us to trust You, to trust Your Word, to trust what You've said to us. Help us to have a thankful attitude